It comes from the inside, not from the outside. What we really do in the moments of crisis is really indicative of what's deep within us. There's the old saying, what do you get when you squeeze a lemon? And the obvious answer is, well, you get lemon juice. Well, the real answer is, no, you get whatever's inside the lemon.
What does your reaction to a stressful situation say about your character? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and guest Governor Mike Huckabee.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. The believers have a voice in this world, and it is the voice of victory in Christ Jesus. Praise God. We're a victorious people. The Word of God says that faith overcomes the world, and it also says that he that believes Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're blessed today because Governor Mike Huckabee is here with us again today. God bless you, Governor.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. I appreciate your lifestyle, man. I mean, And I've been watching you now for over 10 years in public office. I've watched you in a lot of different ways, a lot of different roles of life. And I've noticed that regardless of where you are and regardless of what kind of camera is stuck in your face or where you are or how you're dressed or anything else, you're just the same Mike Huckabee. It's the same. This is what you're going to get one way or the other. And that's what really, really amazed me about your life. Well, now, forgive me, sir. I need to do this. I'll almost let it slip my mind. The Lord remind me. Governor Huckabee is not here today campaigning for any office. He is here as an ordained minister of the gospel. And our subject, in fact, I want to read this scripture again. This is the scripture base for what we're talking about. Psalm 15:4. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not is the man that stays under God's tabernacle. He's the man that stays in that secret place of the Most High. He's the guy that hears from God. Bouncing in and out of there is what causes disaster. And this, we're talking about integrity of character. In fact, I got that phrase from Governor Huckabee 10 years ago, and it became a real inspiration in my life and in my Bible study. Anyway, but let's back to what we're talking about. I would appreciate it if you would go into the things that happened to you. Here's Governor Tucker, state of Arkansas. You had been elected as lieutenant governor, and then Governor Tucker was removed from office, and so consequently you became the governor of Arkansas. Now, and I might add, he was elected for two terms after that, so he was governor of the state for 10 years. But this is a very just all of a sudden, he's just thrust into the governorship from being lieutenant governor. And some really, really, I mean, you had prepared, your speech was prepared, you're ready, preparing to be sworn in as governor of the state, and all of this, and then, I mean, right at the last moment, at the worst possible time, Governor Tucker decides not to resign.
5 minutes before the swearing in. Now, Brother Kenneth, the Capitol is filled with people. There's 1,500 people packing the halls. They're up and down the staircases. They're there to see my swearing in. He had announced that he would step down from office after having been convicted of some felonies related to Whitewater. So it's all set. There's been a transition. His people have found new jobs. I now have hired people who are coming to their first day on the job. They've sold houses. They've relocated. I mean, this is a boat that's well down the river. 5 minutes before the swearing in, my secretary comes in and says, Governor Tucker's on the phone.
So you were practicing your speech.
I was practicing
the
speech I was going to give to the swearing in. So I pick up the phone thinking he's going to say, well, good luck, and, you know, I wish you the best. And instead, we have it on videotape, by the way. It's an interesting videotape that the guy was sitting there taping it just for posterity. He had no idea what significance he would be taping. And on the other end of the line, Governor Tucker said, I've decided I'm not going to resign after all. You've decided what? He said, I've decided I'm not going to resign after all. And so I said, I think you need to reconsider this. And he called me back in 10 minutes and said, no, I'm not going to resign. I'll step aside temporarily, but I plan to fight on appeal, and I'm not going to step aside, and you're not going to be the governor. Well, it was a pretty bizarre thing. The people in the hall, they wonder what's going on? Why is he so late? And they were blaming me for being late. They had no idea what was going on. Well, finally, I realized that I needed to let the House and the Senate, who were now assembled in a joint session, know what in the world's going on. So word starts getting out, and the Capitol erupts in some of the most, frankly, unbelievable tension I've ever seen. It got ugly there because people were angry. They felt that he had betrayed his word and gone back on it. And so I called the House and Senate leaders together. First, I went down and went up and I spoke to the joint House and Senate and told them that this was not acceptable. And it wasn't about me. It was about our state. The state had a right to have a governor who had not been convicted, and we needed to move forward. And he said he was going to resign. He needed to honor that commitment. I asked to meet with the Senate and House leaders. We assembled. And at that point, I told him, I said, this is not about the politics. This is about the principle of right versus wrong, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and if we have to start impeachment procedures. Now, here's what was going on. For about 5.5 hours, there were two people claiming to be governor of Arkansas, and it got really interesting. State police weren't sure who to take their orders from. National Guard weren't sure who the commander-in-chief was.
Man, that could have gone bad in a hurry.
It was definitely going that way. State employees weren't sure who was in charge. It was a true constitutional crisis. And much to their credit, even though the members of the House and Senate were 90% the other party, and certainly the leadership, they agreed with me, they stood with me, and at about 6 o'clock that evening, Governor Tucker finally then rendered a full resignation letter, and I was sworn in shortly after. I remember calling and saying, get a judge in here to do the swearing in, and they said, well, we don't know where the Chief Justice is. I said, I don't care if he's the Chief Justice or a judge of a municipal court. Let's get this done before he changes his mind. So we finally were able to get it done.
Now, my question to you is this. All the way through that thing, we're talking about hours here,
right,
of intense pressure, that just mind-bending kind of atmosphere. And you're having to think on your feet. You're having to face people that you wouldn't have had to face for 6 months, I guess.
That's exactly right.
And all of a sudden, you have to stand up, and you have to stand up and preach what's right and wrong to these people. It isn't time to try to develop your character in a thing like, because if a man's character is not developed here, this group over here will bounce him over here, or this group over here will bounce him back over here. And just the bad news moves you. But you know, the 112th Psalm says a man of character, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, and he's not afraid of evil tidings.
Well, character
That came into play right then,
didn't it?
When he called and told me.
Absolutely.
That.
Well, character is not microwavable. It's not something you can...
Well, hang on a second. I got to have that.
It's something that has to develop out of your heart and life, and it is the net result of all of the factors of your life. It's not something that you can go to the shelf and pick up, take off the shelf, and put on like a garment, and then take it back off when it's inconvenient. It comes from the inside, not from the outside. What we really do in the moments of crisis is really indicative of what's deep within us. There's an old saying, what do you get when you squeeze a lemon? And the obvious answer is, well, you get lemon juice. Well, the real answer is, no, you get whatever's inside the lemon. So what do you get when you squeeze a believer? You get whatever's in him. If he's filled with Jesus, Jesus comes out. If he's filled with self, self comes out. Character has to be something that is deep to the very marrow of our bones. And if it is, then no matter what the external pressures are, in fact, the harder the pressures, the more that the character is revealed. If we're not people who are in tune with the Lord, and God's Word is not fixed within us, when the pressures come from the outside, it'll be like a pressure washer with a little bit of dirt. It'll scrub right off. And that's why it's so important that we understand that character is not that that garment that I wear on the outside. It's not the face that I put on. It's not just the clothes I wear. It is the heart and soul of who I am, not just what I do and what I look like. So many times, Brother Kenneth, I think people don't understand that character is developed as the course of the discipline of our life. I really think of it in terms of that morning, for example, we had a prayer service before I was sworn in. I called on some of my pastor friends to come and preach. They preached to me. They read scripture. We had a praise and worship time. We sang some of the most powerful songs that have meant a lot to me during the years and just prepared me spiritually. But that service was the culmination of so much of what had happened over the, at that time, nearly 40 years of my life, preparing for that day. I had no idea. I thought I was just going to go down to the Capitol and have a big, wonderful day. It never occurred to me that I'd be entering one of the greatest constitutional crises in the 160-year history of my state. And when people say, what prepared you for that day, or what did you do? You don't have time to sit down and have the luxury of having committee meetings and having folks come in and talk to you. You have to react, but your reaction is the reflex of your spirit. And so many times I think we forget that the greatest things that we do in our lives are the things that we do not because we've thought through them, but because they're the spiritual, I like to use this term, spiritual reflexes.
Yeah, that's good.
If God is in your heart, then when that little hammer hits your knee, you can't keep it from happening. And when God is in your soul and you're depending upon Him, then when the hammers of life hit on you, you're going to reflex what God wants you to do. And if you don't reflex that, what you're really revealing is what was there all along.
Yeah, it's not in there.
It's not there.
Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and things come to pass. That's the part that people neglect. Everybody knows that you say things from time to time you don't even hear with your own ear because it just comes out. But what they don't realize is what's coming out of you is what's coming to pass. And you're the results of what happened to you on that day was extremely interesting to me because I read your analyzation of it later. The things that happened thrust you into that place where it is win or lose, right?
Yes,
there,
sir.
Then, because you got, like you said, you came to have just a wonderful day, probably the last la-la day you're going to have for the next
probably
till the end of your term. But instead, all of a sudden you were in the fiery furnace, and it thrust you out there in front where you had to make it or not, right there in one day's time. And in that several hours, it stripped all of the cover off of you and stuck you right up in front of the state legislature. It stuck you right up in front of the people on television, on the radio. It stuck you right up in front of both parties. Mm. It stuck you right up there. and the Word of God performed in your life, and just like Goliath made David the king of Israel, that situation made you governor of the state of Arkansas.
It truly did, Brother Kenneth. And in fact, before that day, there were a lot of people who didn't really want to accept me as their governor. They felt like, look, he wasn't elected as governor. In fact, some of the opposition used to call me the accidental governor, the accidental governor. They kept saying that to one. I said, now, whose accident caused me to be governor? And I never heard that again. But up until that moment, people weren't sure, is he capable of being governor? There were a lot of people that had the attitude, look, he's been lieutenant governor, but this guy is a preacher. What's he have any business being governor? That afternoon, as God helped me to just trust him for the events of that day, I became governor in the eyes of the people. And on that day, people who never had voted for me, probably never who would, they came to want me to do well because they saw their state in crisis. And on that day, there were people who I believe accepted me as governor who never would have had that experience not happened. So I often refer to it, I did on Sunday, Genesis chapter 50, Joseph's sold off into slavery, left for dead by his brothers, ends up falsely imprisoned, falsely accused. Everything's going wrong for this guy who was on top and had the favor of his father, and now his life's miserable. But one day, because of God's unique plan in his life, he's in a position to save not just his family, but his entire nation, the nation of Israel, from famine.
Yeah.
His brothers come back. They realize that's their brother. They're afraid he's going to have them all killed. And he says to them, no, what you intended for evil, God has used for good. You thought you were getting rid of me, but what was happening, God only allowed all of these things for me to be in a position I can save the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
We sometimes see things that we think are the worst things that are happening. They turn out to be the best things that are happening. It's the old saying, God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick, and he can do it.
Whatever the
circumstances in our life, we sometimes we think the circumstances are in control. God is in control. Circumstances don't control the Lord.
No, the Lord controls
the circumstances.
No, that's right.
And the devil can take his best shot, but his best shot can't put us in the dirt and keep us there. His best shot only gives God an opportunity to show that he reigns victorious and supreme. And the worst thing that comes against us, God can turn even then into the best thing that happens for us.
There's another aspect of this that I want to ask you about. You probably thought in your life that you had been busy before until you became governor of the state of Arkansas. Because ain't nobody going to let you sleep, man. They don't let you do anything when you're in that kind of an office. And I know as pastor of a 2,500-member church, pressing 3,000-member church, you was a busy man. But not after you started pastoring 2.5 million people.
That's right. That's what it's
like. As governor of the state. And I know that's the way it was in your heart like that. You really, I know this from your writings, that you made the statement, I feel like I pastor 2.5 million people. Well, you're the busiest man on earth. And with the endeavors that you're involved in now, you're just night and day this thing goes on. How do you maintain that level? How do you maintain your word level? How do you maintain your prayer level? This had to be something you made a decision of before you ever got that busy.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, there's two things. People ask me sometimes, how do you find time? And whether it's find time for exercise or find time for prayer, find time for just daily devotional time and a walk with God. And I always say, I don't find time. I make time. We do in our lives what we make time for. We do what we think's important. If I make speeches and I go to events and I attend meetings, why do I do those? Why is it on my calendar? Because it's important enough to get written down on the calendar. So if prayer is important, if my being faithful to God in the Word is important, I have to make the time for that and put it in my life just as I would any meeting or any speech I ever give. So when people say, oh, I'd love to have quiet time, I just don't have time. No, you have time. You've made room for other things because everybody has 168 hours a week.
That's right.
Last time I checked, nobody has a different clock than the rest of us. So when a person says they don't have time for God, no, they've got time for Him. They just have shoved that aside to make time for something else, maybe watching TV, maybe reading. It may be cooking. I don't know what it is. But there's no such thing as I don't have time. I haven't made time for God.
And you spend daily time in the Word of God, don't you?
Absolutely. If I didn't, it'd be like not eating. You get weak, and you get weak in a hurry. I remind myself that the spiritual life that I live is like the physical one. If I stopped breathing right now and just said I'm going to hold my breath, I've only got about 4 minutes before I'm going to be clinically dead. About 8 minutes or 12 minutes, and I'm biologically dead. If I stop spiritual breathing, which means I get rid of sin, exhale the sin and the just nonsense out of my life, and breathe in God's Spirit, if I stop doing that and say, I'm going to take off a couple of weeks, and I'm not really going to think about the Lord and worry about my spiritual life, I'm going to start dying the moment I stop spiritual breathing. And that's why this nonsense about, well, I once was faithful to the Lord. You know, I used to go to camp meeting, and I used to go to all the revivals, and I used to watch Brother Kenneth on TV every day, but now I only watch him once a week. And whatever people want to say, I used to read the Word every day, but I do it every few days now. Say whatever you want to, but when I stop breathing, I start dying. When I stop staying in the Word, I start spiritually beginning to falter and die.
No question about it. It's an absolute.
It's an absolute, yes, sir.
Because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So without them, what's left? Death and darkness, praise the Lord. Now, we're out of time. The governor and I will be back in just a moment. When we come back now, I got something I'm going to tell you. And then I guarantee you won't miss tomorrow's broadcast. We'll be back in just a moment.
For every individual, family, community, and country, there are defining moments. And in these moments, character is always the issue. In his book, Character is the Issue, Mike Huckabee, the Honorable Governor of the State of Arkansas, shares a contemporary memoir that underscores the power of honor, faith, and integrity. Character is the Issue is the compelling story of a pivotal moment in history when integrity and faith determined response in the midst of trial and defined the future. This book provides everyone who reads it with a clear picture of how a person of character responds under pressure. Character is the Issue is a must-read story for our age, an eloquent testimony of what integrity can accomplish in communities around the world. It will inspire you and remind everyone that character is always an issue. To request your copy of Character is the Issue, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. The cost for this essential book by Governor Mike Huckabee is only $11.99. To request your copy by phone, call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn the importance of living your life with integrity. Order your copy of Character is the Issue by Governor Mike Huckabee today.
Character is the issue. How people with integrity can revolutionize America. This is the wonderful book by Governor Mike Huckabee, and it's been such a blessing in my life. I really do want you to have this. So use the information that's on your screen right now and get busy and order it right now. Now, I told you that I was going to tell you something about tomorrow's broadcast, and I guarantee you, you're not going to want to miss this now. I want to visit with Governor Huckabee tomorrow about how these very principles took how much weight off you?
110 pounds.
110 pounds. he's not near the man he used to be, and neither am I. Over a period of many years, I've lost 100 pounds. But I'm telling you, I knew that this man looked like one thing one day, and the next time I saw him, he looked like he looks now. And I've read after him and so forth, and besides that, I've learned to know him. And I know that this issue right here, integrity of character, I said it before, and I'll say it again. I got that phrase from him. I got it out of this book. And the incidents that he's been talking about and so forth are in more detail than what we've had time to do here, also in the book. But the important thing is, when you develop in integrity of character from the Word of God, then when what the world considers impossible tasks, impossible things to lose 110 pounds and keep it off, particularly in the most busiest schedule you've ever had in your entire life, without this kind of integrity of character, you can't do it. But it is not impossible with God, and it's not impossible to the one who believes. Praise God. So glad you could be with us today. And I know now you're not going to miss tomorrow's broadcast. Praise the Lord. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Governor Huckabee, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year. Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country and come together with believers from around the world. Join us at one of these life-changing meetings in 2008. Come to the Branson Victory Campaign March 6th to the 8th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Then to California for the West Coast Believers Convention June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Join us on the Believer's Voice of Victory as John Copeland and Keith Moore study Psalms 91. Learn how to walk in God's perfect protection.
Find out what your responsibility is to walk in God's perfect protection. It's not just up to Him. We've got to do our part.
There are steps we must take to live in God's perfect protection. Don't miss these special broadcasts.